Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. According to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early, on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Congregation may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So last summer, I preached a sermon here about marigolds, those little yellow and orange flowers. And it was a sermon about unconditional love, because I had read that marigolds are helper flowers because they repel pests. Pests don't like them. So if you plant them at the edge of your garden, they'll repel pests away from your plants. I hear it was a life-changing sermon. I don't know, that's just what people say to me. Clearly, you remember it. Anyway, I preached that sermon, and then the next, maybe 2 weeks later, my little boy Julian came home from preschool summer camp, and he had just this little cup with dirt in it, and he said, "Mom, it's a marigold plant." And I was like, "Oh, I know about these." So I said, "Oh, Jules, we should go plant this in the garden. It'll keep pests away from our green beans." So we go outside and we plant this little itty bitty marigold plant right next to the green beans. And a couple of weeks went by, and by the end of summer, look what happened to that little marigold plant. That is unconditional love. It overflows with help to the point that the green beans went crazy too, and the tomatoes and everything else. Unconditional love just over poured in that garden. Thank you. Now that is the kind of love that Jesus taught us throughout his ministry. When he fed the hungry by the thousands, when he ate with sinners and tax collectors, when he healed lepers, when he walked among those who were unclean, when he washed the disciples' feet, even the one who betrayed him, Jesus was teaching us unconditional love. But on Easter, Jesus teaches us about an altogether different kind of love. Today, with the empty tomb and the folded linens, Jesus teaches us about sacrificial love. And that kind of love, brothers and sisters, is not unconditional, as much as we would like to believe it is. The condition of the love that Jesus showed us was the cross. The cross we were meant to bear for the wages of our sin was the condition that Jesus took on. A condition he accepted on Good Friday. It cost him dearly to teach us of this kind of love. And sacrificial love does not overflow with its own life like those marigolds did. Sacrificial life, rather, propels life forward by giving of itself. Now that is the work of a different kind of flower. All right, you gardeners, tell me what this flower is. Anyone? A nasturtium. Well done, you. Good job. A nasturtium. It literally means nose twister. I love that. Gardeners gave nasturtium this name because they're known for their peppery flavor and their spicy fragrance. But botanists know them for a different kind of feature. Botanists know nasturtium as a sacrificial crop. Unlike marigolds, they don't repel pests and predators, they attract them. So, if you've got a tomato plant in your garden and it's overrun with aphids, you plant a little nasturtium around its edges, and when they bloom, the aphids will jump ship and rest on the nasturtium. And then you simply have to go and pluck these pretty little flowers and rid your garden of aphids. That is the gift of their sacrifice, life for others. They sacrifice their lives in order to propel other plant life forward. And if you'll let me get lost in analogy for just one more moment, this cross here today is a huge, giant, beautiful nasturtium. And for us, who are in Christ Jesus, it is a gift of sacrificial love. And that sacrificial love is resurrection. That is what we get. Life, not for us, or not for Jesus, rather, but for us. His sacrificial love on the cross propels us forward. Now, that is what I love about our gospel reading today. Those women, they're afraid, right? And they aren't going to say much for just a little while. But Jesus is the one resurrected, and they are the ones running. They are the ones who get to get moving and get back to life. His sacrificial love propels them forward. And in your life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the sacrificial love of Jesus is what holds temptations and chaotic powers of this world at bay. Make no mistake, the risen Lord is ever before you, standing at the edge of your life, propelling you forward, absorbing the slings and arrows and the pests and the menace coming your way. That is sacrificial love. Jesus is the one resurrected. We are the ones who run forward in life. And when that Easter love gets through to us, when we somehow let the truth of this day sink into our hearts and minds, well, we find ourselves able to show sacrificial love too. We allow ourselves to be planted on the edges of others who need to be propelled forward in life. And I've been thinking about that a lot in the last week, and what kept coming to my mind was the Journey of Hope House. Those of you who live in this area, you'll know that the Journey of Hope House is a maternity house that is right next to our neighbor's church, the Methodists. We like them. We'll see how their Easter numbers were, and then I'll decide if we like them. At any rate, they're our neighbors and friends, and they have a ministry called the Journey of Hope House. It is a maternity house. It's where mothers in crisis who are pregnant or have newborns can go so that they can safely deliver their child in a warm and nurturing environment. And you've probably heard me talk about them a lot lately if you come here. Because in the last few months, Journey of Hope experienced a house fire. And it was a big mess, and it was looking pretty bleak because these mothers had nowhere to go, and the ministry threatened to kind of end in that moment. But our sister in Christ here, Stacy, and other volunteers who serve at Journey of Hope just started to pour themselves into it in these last few weeks and months. They just started to give. They sacrificed their time, their money, their sleep, their clothes, their bed sheets. One of them even sacrificed their house so that these women had another safe place to be while the Journey of Hope house was rebuilt. And last week, after all that time, I got a text from Stacy. And along with the text was a picture of a smiling, unbelievably chunky, happy baby boy. And he was being held by an even happier looking mom because in her other hand, she was showing the camera a newly signed lease. In a neighborhood that was safe, in an apartment building that was clean and good and big enough for her and her children. Now, a few months ago, that fire looked like it could have been the end of that promise for her. But our sisters in Christ and the other volunteers at Journey of Hope planted themselves around the edges of this woman and her baby, absorbing the predators of poverty and homelessness and hunger and propelling them forward in life. That is the risen Christ. That is resurrection. That is what sacrificial love does. It stands in darkness and pushes us into light. It hangs from a cross and hands us mercy, and it will stand at the gates of death and fling us into heaven on our Good Friday. And in the meantime, we who follow a risen Lord will plant ourselves on the edges of despair and darkness and push light and hope and joy and peace forward with every tool the Holy Spirit has placed into our hands. And if this sermon isn't about you, it is for you. And if you are the one standing in darkness, if you are the one waiting for healing and hope and light, know this. Our risen Lord does not let us sit. And your brothers and sisters in Christ are coming to plant themselves at the edges of your life. And we will not give up until you are propelled forward. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.